we can, in the end time, have the truth and that we won't be deceived. And when we look at the current climate in the world, not just climate change, but look at the current climate of events, we see that something is happening. Even non-Christians will come up to you and say, "What is happening? I'm worried about the future." I'm worried about the future too. But when we place our future in God's hands, we know that we will come through, don't we? This morning I want to be able to talk to you about truth. I believe it is an important, let's say, aspect of our beliefs. And I've called this morning's service, Truth Transforms. Is that all coming up nicely? Yeah, okay. I want to be able to look at Jesus, how he saw truth. I want to look at truth, how we see it, how man sees it, how the devil sees it. But I want to also be able to look at what does it really mean to us? Why is truth important? Okay, let's start. Let's dive in and have a look. Can I ask you a question? Why did Jesus come into this world? Let me just give myself some working room, because I like to walk around. Why did Jesus come into this world? Sorry? To save us. Yes, and of course, Matthew 1:21 tells us that Jesus came that he will save his people from their sins. Okay, he came to save us. Any other reasons? Why did Jesus come?
To express the character of God.
Thank you. What Tom said.
Oh, that's a lovely one, isn't it? I believe there is more to it than that. Okay? That's a good answer. Why did Jesus come?
To go against Satan's lie, which...
To go against Satan's lie, to tell God's part of the story.
Destroy the works of the devil.
They're all good answers. But why did Jesus really come?
We can overcome evil.
Yes, so that we can overcome evil. And in fact, so that we can be forgiven for evil, isn't it? Because when he died on the cross, he died for our sins. He became sin for us. Yes, someone else.
To eradicate sin totally forever.
Yeah. Yeah, and these are all good answers. But again, why did Jesus come?
Because he loves us. Is that what you're after?
Oh, yes. Because he wanted to show us God's love, of course. But there is more to it than that. Yes.
He came to Israel, repent to him.
Repent.
To repent, yes. Yes. Yes, and when we... We look up Acts, I think it's 3:19, we can see that, yes, certainly this is one of the things that the disciples present. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And yes, all good answers. But why really did Jesus come? Sorry?
To be with us.
Oh, I like that too. Oh, yes.
To fulfill prophecy that he would.
Yes, prophecy. To fulfill prophecy. I like that too. But really? Why did Jesus come? Look, I better get on with the sermon, otherwise I will be here for lunch. Sorry? To die on the cross. Absolutely. Yes. Look, these are all excellent answers, and we could explore this all day, but we'll never get to the end of the sermon. And I want to have lunch too. In fact, 1 Timothy 1:15 says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Okay. Another one is, what did Jesus say was his purpose for coming into the world? To present us the kingdom of God, right? The heavenly kingdom. And look at Matthew and, in fact, the other Gospels as well. They present the kingdom of God, okay, or the kingdom of heaven. Jesus came to show us that. But it's more than those things. Okay, can I put you out of your misery?
Yes.
In fact, why was he born? For what reason did he really come? For what purpose? Jesus gives us his answer in the Gospel of John. I want you to turn to John chapter 18. And we'll hear Jesus' words as he presents it to us. John chapter 18, and let's look at verse 34. If you find the answer, just hang on a minute. Let Scripture reveal it. Let's all see it together. John chapter 18, verse 34. Jesus answered him. In fact, let's go to 33. Then Pilate entered the praetorium, again called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you concerning me?" 35. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" And verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." By this time, Pilate must have been pretty confused, don't you think? Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come to the world, that I should bear witness to the what? To the truth." So why did Jesus come? That he should bear witness to the truth. "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And then later on Pilate said, "What is truth?" And that's the question that we want to ask today. What is truth? And that's the question we want to answer today. What is truth? Let's go and explore what is truth. In fact, Jesus is on trial and God is in trial. When Jesus was standing in front of Pilate, Jesus was on trial and God was on trial. You see, Jesus came to die on the cross that, yes, he might show us God's love in a better way than anything else. That God gave part of himself. When Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac on the sacrificial altar, remember, he raised his hand to kill his son, and God said, "No, not this time." And he found a ram in the thicket, and he sacrificed the ram instead. Interesting that when Jesus died on the cross, it was God's only son, his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God had set the plan of salvation in motion even before sin entered our world. If you look in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 4 to 7, it tells us there that before the foundation of the world, God had accepted us as his sons and daughters, as his adopted children. Before the foundation of the world. So this was a process that Jesus was involved with by choice. He willed himself to the Father, and by choice he died on the cross. Interesting. But you know, Jesus came to bear witness of the truth. Let's have a look at some of Jesus' truth claims. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Okay? But even more, did you know that Jesus has 78 times where he tells the truth? Now, I've put them all on here because if you want a copy of this presentation and you come to me with a memory stick, I'll give it to you. Okay? And it says here, "I tell you the truth" in the Bible is 78 times throughout mainly the Gospels. And so Jesus, every time he uses that term, he says, "I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke of a of a letter will pass from the law until everything comes or takes place. I tell you the truth, you will never get out there until you have paid the last penny. And I tell you the truth, I tell you the truth. Jesus was telling the truth. And when you look at all those I tell you the truth statements, you can see some great truths in there. Then the next one, Jesus says in the same way in the book of John, verily, verily, the verily, verilys of the Trinity, the verily, verilys of the deity of Christ, the verily, verilys of the Holy Spirit and those he empowers, the verily, verilys of wrong motives, the verily, verily of the new birth, the verily, verilys of salvation. So Jesus says, verily, verily, or I tell you the truth. Can you see the picture? Jesus came to bear witness of the truth. And what about the 19 truth claims of Jesus? Truly, truly. Yes. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. Is this truth? Absolutely. Truly, truly, you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. These are Jesus' truth claims, and when Pilate asked the question, what is truth? What Jesus was truth himself. He was presenting to the world God as truth in a way that we would understand, in a way that would reconcile us to his Father. How does he reconcile us? When Jesus died on the cross, what did he do for us? He became sin for us, didn't he? He took away our guilt. If we ask Jesus to forgive our sins, he will take away the guilt of sin. He'll take away the penalty of sin. And what will he do then? He'll declare us to be righteous. This is justification by faith. He declares us to be righteous, and he presents to us the Holy Spirit to then help us overcome sin. Do you know that sin's not your problem? It's God's problem. All God wants you to do is to come to Jesus, have a relationship with Jesus by studying the Word every day. And as we come to Jesus and we have a relationship with Jesus and we say, Jesus, you're my friend, and he forgives our sins, Jesus allows us to partake in the divine nature. How? Through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Read this in the Gospels. Read this in Paul's writings. This is nothing new. This is the good news of the Gospel. You see, the truth that Jesus came to present is the good news. But what has man done to truth? Man has truth claims which look at all different sorts of things. And you can get a little bit confused when you look at these truth claims. The dictionary defines that truth is conformity to fact or reality, to a standard or ideal, steadfastness, a statement of belief that corresponds to reality. And so, what is truth? Truth is reality. In fact, some people say, if you can't see it, I don't believe it. And so if they never see something with their own two eyes, they never believe it. And that becomes interesting. Because when you ask them and you say, have you got any brains? I can't see them. I can't see your brains, Peter Tong. I tell you, I went to hospital recently. Have you? Well, I went to hospital, when I say recently, about 3 years ago, I had a bike accident. And they took me to hospital and they gave me an MRI scan. And there I laid down and zoop, this thing went over me and up me and did everything else. And anyway, back came the report. And I have this written report. It says, brain normal. So I've got proof that I have a normal brain, okay? So it's interesting. It is reality. I have a brain, folks. You see it, you hear it, you touch it, you taste it, you smell it. These are all from your senses. I believe that there is another sense. How many senses? Five. I believe we have six. You know what that sixth sense is? Inspiration. Inspiration. God inspires us. What about fact and fiction? We have true and false. You know, we used to think that everything that on the news is fact. Now we hear of things called fake news, don't we? And so we can be a truth seeker, but if we're not seeking in the right place, we will never find truth. These days, you cannot depend on the media for telling you the truth. Mahatma Gandhi said, "What is truth? A difficult question, but I have solved it for myself by saying that it is what the voice within tells you." New Age sort of stuff. The voice within. Christians these days say, "It's the spirit within me that tells me the truth." But God says that His, what? Word is truth. Okay? His word is truth. His word is truth. President Trump, can President Trump handle the truth? I think he seems to handle on many occasions fake news better. And Time had a magazine cover which said, "Is truth dead?" How do you know that a politician is lying? That's why they open their mouth. Okay. That's a sad reflection on our society, isn't it? Truth in our world? What about postmodern confusion makes truth subjective, elusive, and ephemeral? Okay, in other words, it's something out there. You can't really know truth. Truth is your experience. In fact, postmodernism tells us that if you can't experience it, don't worry, mate, it doesn't matter. Okay? Truth is experiencing things. Tolerance of all except those who believe the truth. And what happens is they say that you must be tolerant of truth and other people's opinions until their opinion becomes the dominant one, and then they say, no, shut down everyone else, shut down the debate that everyone else wants to have. Interesting. They also say that you don't have to believe in absolute truth. Are you absolutely sure? In fact, people say, well, I don't believe in any absolutes. I don't need absolutes. They make me feel guilty. And because they make me feel guilty, I don't want them. I don't need absolutes. All you have to do is ask that person, what happens when you step out of a cliff and you say, I don't believe in gravity? What happens? You always go down. Okay? So they do actually believe in absolutes. No absolute truth. Human destiny is an episode between two oblivions. Knowledge is only a result of physical processes in our brains. Right and wrong are what we decide for ourselves or what the majority decides for us. And there's no accountability. All paths lead to God. We are gods. Life has no purpose but survival. You know, when we look at truth on that sort of scale, it doesn't sit. We've got to ask the question, what is life all about? What am I doing here? Where am I going? Where have I come from? That's how you find out truth, when you find those answers. You know, Satan tries to give us the truth too, but he's the father of lies. In fact, if we go and look up John chapter 8 and verse 44, he has another perspective on what truth is. John 8, verse 44. And John 8, 44 says this. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of what? The father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. Isn't it interesting that these days people want to shun God like the plague, don't they? They do not want to know about God. As a minister, if I believed in that statement, I would never do ministry. The only reason why you go out and knock on doors or meet people in the community and have churches is because God is speaking to everyone's heart through the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to me, he's speaking to you, he's speaking to your next door neighbours, he's speaking to your relatives and your friends and whoever is in your community, and God will bring them, if you pray a prayer to him, he will bring them to you. He will bring them to you. And all he wants you to do is to simply tell them of your love for Jesus. Nothing complicated. Not the 28 fundamentals. He just wants you to tell them of your testimony and your experience with Jesus and your love for Jesus. And that person will go away revived and refreshed. And later on, God will give you the opportunity to share those 28 fundamentals. The devil wants to replace faith with feelings. You see, sin is a rebellion against God. And people say, well, it doesn't matter if I don't do this right or that right or whatever it is. Sin is about rebellion against God. No two ways about it. It's a rebellion against the truth of God. The deceptions of Satan. We see that there are false Christs, there are false ideas, there are false feelings, there's false knowledge and science, there are false dreams, visions and miracles, there are false doctrines. And by the way, there are sound doctrines too. And 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 tells us that, and the other chapters there. So the devil wants to give us some false things. Let me share with you some false things that are creeping into our society. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. I just felt impressed to tell you this morning. And it's this, verse 9. When you come into the land which the Lord is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Verse 10. There shall not be found among you any one who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations to the Lord, your God drives them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispossess listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. God has not appointed that we should be involved with things like yoga, Reiki or Riki, depending which way you want to say it. Reiki or Riki is a form of channeling. Channeling whose spirit? Not God's spirit. Channeling the devil's spirits. Okay? It might look really nice on the surface, but actually it's witchcraft. To put it bluntly, it's witchcraft. Much of what goes on with New Age these days is also witchcraft. They dabble in it. They are looking for a spiritual connection for their souls. But Jesus has given us our spiritual connection because Jesus is the answer and Jesus is the truth. You know, we find these days that man is trying to erode at our origins. We are created, aren't we? We are created in the image of God. When God put DNA of every one of our cells, he put a code that is a mystery to man. And the more science is finding out about this code, this DNA code, it's 3 billion bits of data. It's like we have a molecular computer in every cell of our body, our 100 trillion cells in our body. It's this code that is managed by several other enzymes. We call them PARP, P-A-R-P for short. And they manage that double helix. They repair it. They split it open so that messenger RNA can come in and couple to it, and it can get the data off that. It takes data and encodes it, and then at the ribosome, which produce the proteins, the protein manufacturers, they decode it. You don't have encoding of data and decoding of data where intelligence is not involved. This evidence is staring man in the face. Staring science in the face, and they ignore it. Oh, it's just a mystery. We'll discover by technology what it's all about soon. What about marriage equality? You can marry anything almost these days, anyone, and as many as you like. It's coming. What about gender fluidity? But God made man and he made woman. Where's the truth in that? You either have X or Y or chromosomes or whatever, or you see, it's all in our genes. What about religious discrimination like Israel Folau? They can't even get the act off the ground to give us religious discrimination at the moment. Isn't it terrible? What about political correctness? We're so worried about being politically correct that we are actually wrong in the first place. It doesn't matter. What about the media? Have you ever seen the bias in the media that's sitting out there at the moment? Are they speaking truth? Absolutely not. And that's why Pilate, when he said, "What is truth?" he asked a universal question. Why have we got so many religions these days? We've got 19 major religions. We have 34,500 Christian churches, and they're all proclaiming the same thing, aren't they? No, they're all proclaiming their own brand of truth of what they think God is all about. Did you know the basis of truth? Our laws, physics, chemistry, mathematics, and biology, and all those things rely on laws. We call them designer laws. We have time. Truth spans time. In fact, it is not only universal, but truth is always, it is immutable. Isn't that what God is like? He never changes. You see, truths never change. It's powerful. By the way, truth is accountable and makes us accountable. Reality, senses-based, feelings involved. They are involved in truth as well, but not as the primary source of our decision-making. Okay? Not as the primary source of our decision-making. The Bible is the absolute word of truth. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And it's this word here that we use as our reference point for truth. If we lose our reference points, it doesn't matter what it is. You've lost the truth. And when you go down to the reference points of our origins and our beginnings, what's the reference point that's lost? That we were made in God's image. That we are accountable to God. If you're just built for survival, what are you accountable to except for survival? You're not accountable to anyone or anything. And kids these days are understanding that, is that whatever goes, you can do it. Crazy. Jesus Christ is truth, and by the way, Jesus is eternal, he's omnipotent, he's immutable, he's omniscient, he's love. And it's based on an evidence-based faith, not a feelings-based faith. It's based on an evidence-based faith. I see the evidence. What evidence has God given us about his truth? Yes, he's given us scripture. What else has he given? He's given us nature, absolutely. He's given us the stars. He's given us transformed and changed lives. He's given us so many things, promises, and those promises come true. He's given us answers to prayer. Beautiful, and these things. Okay, why is truth important? Jesus links truth with salvation. Let's go and look up 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 9 to 13. It starts out by telling us or showing us that the man of sin, this the son of perdition, that he wants to, in verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And then he tries to present the truths of God. And if you think that there's not a great deception going on, just go and look up 2 Corinthians. Hold your finger into Thessalonians. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 11 and verses 13 to 15. It says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." If someone came, some being came and transformed themselves into an angel of light and stood right here in your church, would you believe that that being came from God? What if that being said, that disease you've got, Peter, is healed? And Peter stands up and he says, it's gone. He says, your old age, I'm going to heal you. Boom. Your condition is gone. And you stand up and say, hallelujah, someone blind over here sees. Someone who is deaf over here hears. Wow. What would you do? Would you believe this man, this being? It then says in verse 15, "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. And there will be sheep, or there will be wolves in sheep's clothing in our fold." No doubt about it. That's why we need the truth. We need to hold to the truth. We need to hold to the truth. Interesting. It goes on to say in Thessalonians, verse 9, "The coming of the lawless one," or the Antichrist, "is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, righteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the" what? "The truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, and they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the" what? "In the truth." You see, salvation and belief in the truth are connected, because God is truth. And one of the truths that he revealed to us when Jesus came to this earth is that he is our Savior. He will save us from our sins, but we need to choose and make that choice. So what is truth? Truth is a battle of our worldviews. I have a worldview, and my worldview is Christian. Okay? People in the world have different sorts of worldviews. Why? Because it is based on something very interesting. Let me show you this diagram. And I've shown a diagram similar to this in our Unleash Your Brain Power seminar that we did in our health seminars. It might be slightly modified since then. We've sort of worked on it since then. But you can see from here that the foundation down below here is our upbringing, is our exposure to media, it's our exposure to church and religion. And from there we form our values and beliefs and our attitudes. And then from there, that forms our worldview. And our worldview is made up of truths and what? Distortions. Distortions are falsities that we believe are truths. Because it's based on what this is down here. And not everyone's perfect. Not everyone has the perfect truth, okay? Except for God himself. And then from there we have different stimulations coming in. And we react to those stimulations depending on our will, our frontal lobe, okay? And we have an intellectual reasoning process. We have an emotional feelings process. We have a spiritual process which are focusing on our will. And as we put our will in alignment with God's will, you know what happens? We do the will of God. And we make choices and decisions that are the right choices and decisions. They then affect immediately our behavior. Okay? And if behavior gives us consequences, and this feeds back into the system so that we actually get the feedback. Here's the interesting part. Let's read chapter 12 and verse 2 of Romans. This is the interesting part. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, one of my favorite verses. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Okay? How do we know what the will of God is? Is because we've trained ourselves. We've trained ourselves to accept the will of God here and here. And when we follow the will of God here, we make godly choices and decisions, and we have good behavior, godly behavior. Let me read this text again. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The renewing of your what? The renewing of your mind, "that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Let us turn to now Titus chapter 3 and verse... Titus chapter 3, Timothy, Titus, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, no, there it is, verse 5, 3 verse 5. "Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." It is the Holy Spirit that renews our minds. You know what the Holy Spirit does? It comes along and says, "Matthew, Mark, Luke or John or whatever your name is, I'm going to give you new attitudes and values and beliefs. Do you believe me?" And it comes along and says, "All this here, I'm going to make it as a fuzzy thing because your behavior is going to be a different future based on a different, or your future is going to be based on a different behavior. Not the one back here in the past. It's going to be different. Why? Because I'm going to change through the Holy Spirit your values and your attitudes and your beliefs. And I'm going to give you a different worldview that makes God prominent in your life, that makes God a priority in your life, so that you'll do the will of God. And your choices and your decisions will be to the will of God. And finally, your behavior will be to the will of God." Interesting that it is down here the renewing of your mind happens. God gives us a different attitude, and things that were previously we didn't want, we didn't like, God says, okay, I'm going to change you. So many people come to God and say, God, look, I've got all these problems. I've got this and that and the other. I've got all this sin in my life. What am I going to do? I'm struggling at the moment. And God, I just need some help. And I believe it's correct that we should go to God for help. But Romans chapter 5 tells us that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't say, go and clean your face up and clean the sin out of your lives and then come to Jesus. He said, come to me as you are. And when you come to Jesus as you are, guess who cleans up your sin problem? Jesus does. That same chapter in Romans 5 tells us that while we are enemies of God, Jesus died for us. In other words, while we're actually working against God, He still died for us. And I like what Pastor Morris Vinden said many years ago. He said that it's hard not to be saved because Jesus has done it all. What's my part? My part is to accept what Jesus has done through a relationship with Jesus. Now, my home is in Western Australia. I think most of you know that. And our home is in Western Australia. We got married some years ago. In fact, it was a long time ago. So long time ago, I can hardly remember. 1974. Wow. How many years ago is that? Boy, that makes us ancient, doesn't it? I then went over east in 2002. But you know, if I got married and I went over east and I communicated with Aileen once a day, would that be reasonable? Would I still maintain my relationship? Probably. But what about once a week or once a month or once a year? I wouldn't, would I? Did you know people sitting in these pews right here today, many of you do not communicate with God in a meaningful way on a daily basis? How are you going to expect that Jesus will do a work in you when you don't allow Him to come into your life? Wow. Interesting. That how does God make a difference? How does truth make a difference in your life? Truth makes a difference because as you study the Word of God, you get to know God. And as you get to know God as your friend on a daily basis, you know what happens? He gets to know you. And you build faith. By grace you are saved by what? Through faith. Not of yourselves. It is what? A gift of God. God gives you a gift to transform your life. God gives you a gift so that you can make the change. No. So that He can make the change in you that you because you have chosen Him on a daily basis. That's how it works. God wants to transform us. And we can go and look in Ephesians chapter 4, 17 to 24. It says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. How do we put on the new man? We have our minds renewed. How are our minds renewed? They are renewed because we come to the throne of grace on a daily basis. Ellen White says, and this is backed up by statistics in all churches in the United States. They did a survey of all Christians going to church. about their meaningful Bible study. They worked out that only 1 in 20 people in churches had meaningful Bible study. Ellen White tells us the same statistic. She says only 1 in 20 people in the end time church will be saved. Why? Because only 1 in 20 people in our churches are having regular Bible study each day to get to know their Saviour, to get to know the truth that is in the Scripture that can set them free. I don't know whether I've told this story before, but Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus sets us free. Truth is knowing God. How? I want to tell you this story. I was at a church in Victoria Park in West Australia some years ago, and I preached a sermon on my personal testimony of how I came to Jesus. Did you know that I went away from Jesus in 1986? I came back in 1992. I rejoined the church. And you might say, well, what was that all about? I could ask the same question. I was pretty disgruntled about the church. The church leaders came in one day and we had a really cooking, great young people's group, and I was one of the leaders of that group, and we were going really well. But the new minister came in, and I heard one of the elders bring him down, and they said, and this is the music they have, and we were playing Heritage Singers. Is Heritage Singers bad music? And but to them it was. And you know, this is the sort of thing we have to put up with. It wasn't long, within 2 or 3 weeks, they had a business meeting and they were appointing new officers, and myself and a number of other leaders in the church, we were kicked out. We had nothing to do. We had no other officers. We were just, the young people's group was disbanded. They lost most of their young people. Just gone. I was pretty disgruntled about it. I couldn't see the reason for going to church. And it wasn't long before I went shopping on Saturdays. I started to go surfing on Saturdays. I didn't read my Bible anymore. I still believed in God. Anyway, I was telling my testimony this particular day at the Big Park Church. And the guy came up to me after the service and he shook my hand. He said, I really empathise with what you're saying. He said, can I spend some time with you? I said, well, let's have a meal this Wednesday or something like that. I know where there's a smorgasbord place. I told him where it was. And I said, how about we meet for a meal and you sit down and we have a chat? And he said, fine, done. So I did. I met him at this place in East Vic Park, and we sat down and we ordered Indian food. We sat down and we started eating, and he started telling me about all his life of woes, his life of struggles, how that he'd started a business, and the business was producing Christian jewellery. You know, all the sort of stuff like little brooches, which was what would Jesus do, and all these other sorts of things, and you know, bracelets and all these sorts of things. And he said it was going so well. In fact, it was going so well after 6 months. He praised God that he had blessed him. And he borrowed $40,000 from his brother. But he said the next 6 months were absolutely devastating. He said, I lost the $40,000. He said the business downturn was huge, and I ended up going broke. He said, I am so disappointed against God. And I looked at him. And quick as a flash, God inspired me. I said to him, how much time were you spending with God during that year of running this business? Even when it was running well. And I stopped. I was silent. I waited. I must have waited a couple of minutes. And he put up his hand like that. And I said, well, you and I need to pray. We need to pray. And we did. I said, dear God, please bless John. Please help him to put aside 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes at night to come to you. I said, amen. I said, John, if you can grab your Bible and start with the Gospels, spend 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at night, and as you go along a little bit more, you become more interested. And just pray to God for his help. If you'll do that, you'll have a different sort of understanding of God and about what he can do in your life. He said he would. He left. I've never seen John again. Jesus is waiting for you, each one of you. He wants to come home. He wants you to come home with him. Jesus is coming soon. There's so much trouble and strife and conflict going along in this world. Everyone's blaming climate change, but I can tell you it's only one small little factor. We are in a world in crisis. We can see things happening, some big events in, I think it's May, is it May 14 next year, that the Pope is meeting with all the world leaders to talk about, guess what? Climate change. No, he's not talking about climate change. He's talking about an agenda to control the world. Have a look at what Agenda 21 is for the United Nations fulfilling in 2030. It's about control of the world, a global control mechanism to control climate all along. But you know what they'll introduce as part of climate change? They'll introduce a synchronized day of rest. And you know which day that will be? Absolutely. Folks, our world is in crisis. You can see it. It's knocking at the door, and Christ is knocking at your door. He wants you to open the door and let him come in. But he can't come in, at least permanently, unless you study his word on a daily basis. It's simple as that. If you want eternal life, study his word on a daily basis. Come to him on your knees and say, God, I don't know how to do this. And he will put people in your life that you think, man, how does this happen? He will make things happen in your life that you will say, God, I just shake my head. And all I did was say, come in, Lord Jesus, come. And all these things are happening in my life. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for each member of this congregation here. There are some young and there are some old. Lord, I pray that we will not be conformed to this world, but we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I pray, dear God, that you will renew their minds through the Holy Spirit. But, dear God, please help them to come to your throne of grace each day. Bring their troubles, bring their struggles. You have promised, Lord, that you will lighten our burdens and that you will take our sins away. Dear God, we are homesick for heaven. Please take us home. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.